Greetings, friend, and welcome to Trumpets of Truth International Boot Camp Part 32, The Cursed Race of Mankind by Apostle Jacqueline Fedor. 1 Corinthians 15:22 states, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." In other words, in Adam all die or are cursed by being plagued with aging and decay, resulting in death. But we can overcome this curse and live. Acts 17:28 says, "For in him," meaning Jesus, "we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." Simply speaking, Adam and his descendants are the cursed, while Jesus and his descendants are the blessed. What were some of the curses that Adam and Eve brought on themselves by disobeying God? Well, to begin with, the woman had her joint rulership status over the powers and principalities and rulers of darkness removed, and God assigned the husband the leadership role to cover and protect the family. She would be dependent on her husband to cover her. Childbirth will also be painful, and God told her that these things would bring her much sorrow. Adam, too, was cursed, of course. He would have to toil all the days of his life to support his family. Instead of living in a lush garden where food was at their fingertips, they were banned from God's original provision and were destined to eat by the sweat of their brow and eke out a living from a land filled with thorns and thistles. Not exactly a blessing, you'd say. We are so far removed from the perfection of the original pair and the beautiful, fertile garden they called home, that it's very hard to even comprehend all that we really lost. We more or less accept our cursed condition as the norm, forgetting that we once were immortal beings in the likeness of the Creator. Now we are sick and dying, trapped in mortal bodies and bound to time. What a tragically cursed condition Adam and all that are related to him are in. Throughout history, however, God offered time after time to restore and bless Israel if they would obey his voice and love him. It seems, however, that it was just not in them to be faithful or to obey his commandments. Like their predecessors, Adam and Eve, they wanted to think for themselves and do everything their way. Headstrong and rebellious, Adam's offspring have reproduced over these thousands of years a people that the Bible refers to as the fullness of the Gentile. The Hebrew word Gentile means heathen. So Adam's race today, for the most part, is the fullness of the heathen. Now here is something we must understand. The only one that will bless the heathen is Satan. This is so he can use them and their wealth to promote his kingdoms, his religions, and his economy. But think about this. Even the wealthy get sick, grow old, and die. Why? Because they are of Adam's race. Cursed they are, and cursed they will remain. So, what chance is there for mankind? Well, Satan's greatest fear is that the curse of death and corruption might be removed from mankind. This would result in humans being reinstated as the dominant rulers of this planet, in keeping with God's original plan for them. Regardless of how hard Satan has tried to blind God's people and deceive them through false doctrine and traditions, there are still a few that are not fooled, hunger for truth, and want to really know God. A little remnant remains today that is both teachable and pliable. As God reveals his plans, sharing with mankind how he will regain the earth for his kingdom and restore humanity to its rightful position, these hear, obey, and fulfill whatever part God has called them to perform in carrying out these plans. God has concealed his strategy until this end time, so that the enemy has less time to abort his orders. As God's plans are revealed, however, they must be acted upon swiftly by each called individual. The victory is ours if we will obey His voice and love Him enough to change our ideas, eschatology, and lifestyle. Old wineskins, however, will remain a part of Adam's race forever. The fearful and the cowardly will be afraid to lay their will and carnal life on the altar and trust in God's sovereignty to sustain them. They will remain cursed and resigned to be a part of Adam and his fate. The stiff-necked and rebellious will not even be able to identify with God's remnant people. In fact, even as Cain hated Abel's sacrifice, so these hardened Adamic offspring will hate the sacrifices God's true remnant make to please Him. So what are these sacrifices? Number one, the true remnant are willing to give up being one of Adam's people. They are agreeable to separating from His unclean world with its cursed and unclean people, systems, and religions. They responded and were obedient to God's voice in 2 Corinthians 6:17 and 18 as He rhema'd the scripture to them. And 2 Corinthians 6:17 and 18 says, "Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Next, these understand that they must be something other than Adam's race, so that they can be the blessed of God and heirs of His kingdom. Jesus tells us plainly how to become a part of His kingdom. In John 3:3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You see, we must be born again into another race of people, a new breed, to be a part of God's kingdom. Jesus even set the example. Matthew 3:13, it says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him." Then he explains who his new family is after baptism. Matthew 12:47-50, "Then one said to Jesus, 'Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you.' But Jesus answered and said to one who told him, 'Who is my mother and who are my brothers?' And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, 'Here are my mothers and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my mother and sister and brother.'" Now let us look at Romans, the 6th chapter, to see how we too can have this experience. Romans 6:3-9 says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death?" In other words, we've died to the old Adamic race of our original birth. Verse 4, "Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." In other words, we will walk as a new and different kind of mankind. Verse 5, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him," meaning that we're no longer Adam, "that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." And remember, the penalty of sin is death. Verse 7, "For he who has died has been freed from sin, and therefore death. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. It has no longer dominion over us because we live in Him." So, how are we properly baptized? If we renounce Adam and his people and separate our hearts and minds from them, even to this point of physically separating if need be, we can then repent for our own sins and lay our old man, or our Adamic nature, in the grave at baptism and come up a resurrected new creature, a different race that's totally unrelated to those of Adam. We must do all of this in the name of Jesus, so we have the power of attorney, or his authority, to use that name as needed. What was cursed is now dead, our Adamic self, but we are newborns, ready to make new decisions and live the blessed life. David sang about these ones thousands of years ago, and the song was recorded in Psalms 102:18, and it says, "This will be written for a generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord." Now notice the scripture says, "may praise the Lord." The newborn of God are created to praise Him. Cain, who is symbolic of Adam's children, hates the sacrifice of praise that the end-time remnant offers up to God. It is the new raw sound, coupled with the end-time revelation released in the lyrics of their songs, that offends Adam and Satan. These praisers are also vessels that the Lord sings the prophetic word through. In the song of the Lord is instruction for the remnant. Cain neither understands the songs of God, nor does he like God's songs any more than he likes the vessels he uses to sing through. The fact that these vessels have separated themselves from him and the rest of the Adamic race angers him even more, and, like Cain of old, he tries to kill them. This time, however, he kills Judah. If we look at the word robe in the Strong's Concordance, we will see that it is through separation that the remnant make their robes white. These robes are the mark of dignity as well that allows them to stand out from Adam's people. They will be quite glad they made this sacrifice when God's wrath is poured out on those that are not wearing them. Now let's look closely at the word robe in the Strong's Concordance. In the Greek, it's number 4749, which translates as stole, but this comes from 4724, which specifically means a stole or long-fitting gown as a mark of dignity. King James Version calls it long clothing, a garment, or a long robe. Now 4724 stilo says, "Abstain from associating with." King James Version means to be avoid or withdraw self. 2476, it's a prolonged form of the primary stau, and it means, literally and figuratively in the King James Version, abide, appoint, covenant, establish, place in a passive or horizontal position, utterly prostrate. See, these separate ones lay down their desires and agendas to allow the Lord to live through them. In other words, these rest from their works so He can perform His works through them. Hebrews 4:9-10, "There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered His rest," meaning the Lord's, "has himself also ceased from his works as God did from His. Now the Lord can truly use them to execute His plans to build His kingdom. They are vessels He dwells in and lives through to bring victory to mankind." Colossians 1:27, "To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Now these new ones will also be the protected and the blessed. Only those that wear the robes of separation from Adam and his world are the true remnant and are eligible to be covered by the blood of the Lamb. When the wrath of God is poured, these will be found safe in their chambers, while Adam and his family, along with all they have stored up for themselves, will be destroyed. Isaiah prophesied at this in Isaiah 26:20-21. "Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation is past. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain." See, only the correctly baptized will be the newborn that are redeemed from the curse. Galatians 3:13-14, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree,' that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ." Is this not very plain? Now let us look at Galatians 3:27-29. It says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. See, there is no more curse. Christ took the curse on himself so the newborn could inherit the blessing promised to Abraham's seed." And finally in verse 29 says, "If you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." The separated born again are the true seed of Abraham, the sacred seed, the blessed of God. Now we have to be aware of improper baptism. The remnant are ones that also understood when God shone the light on Acts 2:38 that the church had been baptizing wrongly. They had been submerging their people in the titles of God rather than his name. God is Father as the Creator, Son is our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit that is in us, but he is one God. He has many names, however, and out of all his many names, the name he has chosen to make more powerful than any other name is the name of Jesus. It was his choice, and he gives us the right to use that all-powerful name at baptism. Now let's read Acts 2:38. It says, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.' But you may ask, is the Father's name not Jehovah or Yahweh? Yes, and it is also Jesus. Let's look at Isaiah 9:6 to see the proof. It says, 'For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.'" See, Jesus is the Father, he is the Son, and he is the Holy Spirit. Now you ask, how can this be? Well, let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:19. And it says, "That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." See, God was in the bodysuit of Jesus, so to speak, so they were one. John 14:9, Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" But the point I want to make is that the name of Jesus is the name that is above all other names of God. Why? Because in it is our victory. Philippians 2:9-10 says, "Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth." Why will we as the church not get this right? Well, probably for the most part, the scripture found at Matthew 28:19 has people confused, but it really shouldn't. If we look closely at this scripture, we will see that Jesus told his disciples to go forth and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is one God, and his name is Jesus. Nowhere in the Bible do we see anyone baptized in the title of Father, Son, or Holy Spirit. They were always baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So the time has come for us to separate and grow up. See, God is doing a separation himself, whether we participate or not. The parable of the virgins is prophetic for this very time. This is a place in history when the remnant is being separated from the remnant. The godly that are in Adam are being asked to grow up just a little bit more. They must die to who they were, meaning their Adamic nature, and become the anointed children of the new day. Only those that are obedient to move ahead will have the holy oil to break this yoke of death and be the recipients of the scriptures found at 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 49 says, "And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, who is Adam, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man, who is Jesus." The obedient remnant will be like him in all ways. Verse 51 says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep," meaning we won't die, "but we shall all be changed." Now, changed to what, you may ask? Well, in verse 54 it says, "So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. See, there is no curse of death on God's children. These new creatures will unite with others of like kind to form the body of Christ. When the body of Christ comes to full stature, and only God knows how many it takes to accomplish that, then time and Satan will have no more influence over them." Now, doesn't that seem exciting? Nothing can stand against these ones. So in closing, let us read our scripture one more time. 1 Corinthians 15:22, it says, "For in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." God's voice rings out loud and clear today as it did so long ago in Deuteronomy 30. He is saying once again, "Choose for yourself life or death, blessings or cursings. This inheritance belongs only to the sacred seed of God, the seed of Abraham. These are the born-again children of light, separated and set aside from all evil, the blessed race of mankind, because, you see, Jesus has made a way for it all to happen."
In Christ we made alive, so that is why we must be born again.
From Adam things got worse, now all his seed is cursed, for no one kept the law. And all have sinned.
But Christ has made a way for his chosen seed today. He resurrects the ones that died in him. From healing waters of truth, they'll emerge as his first fruit, a different kind, the oil and wine. He died his king. Separate ones, these are the baptized, born again.
Okay, friend, that concludes this lecture. And as always, I hope you've enjoyed it. If you'd like to know more about us, please visit our website at www.trumpetsoftruth.com. And may you be blessed in all that you do, in Jesus' name.
Trumpets of Truth.